19 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're tuned in to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Joining us by phone this morning, I'm Mark Smith, by the way. Joining us by phone is Congresswoman Joanne Amberson, who represents Southeast Missouri's 8th Congressional District. Good morning.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
All right. You are on a cell phone in the district this morning, and hopefully the signal will hold out, and we're crossing our fingers.
Yeah, we will indeed. I'm sorry. It's the only way I can talk today. I'm busy on the road until about 10 tonight, so...
And I understand you're getting together with our Arkansas 1st District Representative Rick Crawford some today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on my way right now to meet him in Kennett, and we're going to be in Kennett and Sykeston and Cape Girardeau doing some farm bill discussions because, as you know, he's on the Ag Committee, and we have lots of producers who are wondering when and if we're going to get a new farm bill. So Rick's a good person to talk about with, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, what's the consensus on that? I know we're having a major hearing on the farm bill here in Jonesboro at the end of the month. What are the concerns of your producers in Southeast Missouri about the new farm legislation?
Well, when the Ag Committee chairman from the Senate and the House put forth, the basic outlines of what they wanted for a farm bill, there were about $23 billion of cuts over the next 10 years, and I think our producers are concerned that within the budget constraints that the cuts to agriculture programs would go much higher, and so obviously there was concern about that. You know, we have some other issues with regard to rice production, particularly because no one is sure whether or not it's going to be acceptable to do a target price regime, and they're not sure how rice is going to get treated, obviously, because we don't have a crop insurance product for risk management purposes. Unlike now, the cotton has put forward one. And there is some concern among our rice guys. So I'm going to keep our fingers crossed, and I think that we at least have the ag chairman on board with us, but who knows? And, when you have more colleagues from metro areas and or urban areas than you do rural, it always is a tricky time when you've got a farm bill on the floor.
And we're having, a hearing on the farm bill here in Jonesboro at Riceland Hall at the Fowler Center on the ASU campus on the 30th, and Rick Crawford will be heading that up.
Well, that's terrific, and it's really important. I have a lot of producers, who farm both in Missouri and Arkansas, and rice is the one crop that is most in question. Certainly, I think our farmers understand the fact that we're going to be losing direct payments, and that's okay with them for the most part. Obviously, prices have heretofore been pretty good, and so that would offset the need for any extra assistance. But you never know what's going to happen from year to year, and it's so dependent on circumstances way beyond any of our control.
Yeah, and speaking of those, we've had, of course, an unusually mild winter, which could affect the pest numbers in the spring. Now we're getting into spring, and we've already had some heavy rains and some flooding here in Arkansas. Are the levees ready for this season?
Well, I will say that some of the Mississippi and River tributaries levees need some shoring up, particularly, our Birds Point levee. We're having a little disagreement, I think, right now with the Corps of Engineers over whether or not they can flood fight up to 57 feet in the interim prior to finishing up the levee later this year up to 62.5 feet. But there is concern that there's so much seepage over on the Kentucky side in Fulton County that side can't handle too much pressure. And so now the Corps is working very hard to get some right-of-way so that they can put the plan for some relief wells and other things to shore up those levees on the other side. And we have another issue in Caro, Illinois, but I think that that's probably not as quite as significant anyway as over in Fulton County, Kentucky. And I just, we know that the Corps at least has the money to do all of this thanks to the extra money we were able to get at the end of last year for disaster purposes. And we just really, really have to work hard to make sure that the MR&T is ready to go. We at least won't have snow, Mark, coming down from the Dakotas.
Yeah.
But I do worry that, you know, with this crazy weather, who knows how much rain we're going to have.
Yeah, it has been a crazy weather time. And, you know, to remind folks, this Bird's Point levee you're talking about in your district there in southeast Missouri is the levee that was deliberately destroyed during the last spring's flooding to alleviate flooding downstream.
That is true, Mark. And, you know, I think that for the long term, the Corps is really trying to decide whether or not blowing up the levee is the appropriate means to relieve pressure on the rest of the MR&T system. And I know in the short term they want to again put some kind of explosives in there, but I sometimes question their engineering, and in this particular case I've asked them to take some of their assumptions to an independent review board, because some of the numbers they were using from the last flood really don't coincide with what actually happened on the ground as far as hydrology goes, as far as river crest numbers went. So they've actually got at least the interim plan at an independent evaluator, which I think we probably should have back in the next week to 10 days. And at least for flood fighting purposes, we'll see how high they can go just to be on the safe side. But, you know, I am concerned, but it's a shame that the president's stimulus plan didn't do more for the Corps of Engineers and the work that they do in and on the Mississippi and other rivers and tributaries, but it wasn't to be, and that's really too bad, because then we have to face, you know, the uncertainty of knowing what could happen if we have another major weather event.
And, you know, just to clarify, when you refer to MR&T, that's the Mississippi River and Tributary System, which includes all the rivers in this region that flow into the Mississippi.
That is right. And it begins up at Cape Girardeau, and it goes all the way down to New Orleans. And it all was put together as a result of the 1927 flood that just devastated the whole area. And that is why we have the law in place. With regard to number one is flood protection, flood control. But I will say over the years, the Corps has gotten a little greener, and now they're calling the flood control and flood protection floodplain management. And I'm not quite sure what that means. To me, that sounds like, okay, we're going to go back to the way it used to be, which is unacceptable.
Well, you've been very critical of the president and his administration's energy policies and goals, particularly in the context of a rural district like yours. Yeah, I understand the need for affordable fossil fuels for farm vehicles, but other areas of the energy debate, it seemed like rural areas would be the places with an abundance of sustainable resources like wind and solar.
Well, it depends. Well, first of all, let's talk about wind. Number one, wind works when you have a certain lay of the land, if you will, and we're too flat to have wind work very well. You know, we have occasional gusty days, but not enough of them to sustain a wind operation that can then actually store that energy and then put it up on the grid. Now, wind works in northwest Missouri to some extent, but it's still very, very expensive, Mark, and I think it's great to test it. I think it's great and a great opportunity to have for the future, but I don't think that it is, in fact, the way to go, and I think solar is a good complement. You know, I look at other countries, Germany probably being one that uses an awful lot of wind and solar, but it's one country, and it's, you know, and when you look at the size of the United States versus the size of that country, I mean, you know, we're so many times bigger that sometimes things are look a lot simpler than they really are. And what we ought to be doing is putting our research dollars into making coal cleaner and certainly utilizing natural gas, which is, of course, you know, it is clean compared to many other sources of power. So I think that we have to have all of it combined, and the fact that the, you know, president has basically said with regard to oil that, you know, we can't have this Keystone XL pipeline bringing oil down from Canada to be refined in Texas and then distributed throughout the United States. is being really short-sighted, because so much of our foreign policy is premised upon our need for energy, and so we're doing business with people who hate us just because we need their energy, when we have more than an abundant supply of it here in the United States or in North America, and we should be deploying it and working on opportunities and research and development to make it cleaner. I mean, it's just ridiculous, because we put a lot of people to work by actually working on those new technologies and innovating right here at home.
And one of the things that we were talking about a few years ago, we're not hearing so much about now, is there still a problem, though, of lack of adequate refining capacity in the U.S. to be able to refine the oil that we are pumping and the oil that they would like to pump out in the future?
Well, the reason that there's a lack of refining capacity is pure and simple because the environmental community has fought to the nail in every single instance where a company would want to build more refineries. And because the permitting process is so laborious and cumbersome that you can't even get expedited permits, and it could take 3-4 years to get through that process when you've got an environmental protection agency, an Fish and Wildlife Agency like you do in this administration. They will look for every reason not to do something instead of every reason to do something. And obviously, we could build more refineries if we had the will, and if we could expedite the process, still making sure that they use new clean technologies to do it.
Well, we just got a few minutes left, and I want to get to this. Of course, we've been hearing this morning about Rick Santorum winning the Mississippi and Alabama races yesterday, and the GOP presidential race seems destined to go down to the wire. I understand there's a caucus in Missouri this Saturday.
Yeah, we do have our caucuses this Saturday, and I will be the first one to admit that I have never been in a caucus environment quite like the one we're going to have, because what we end up doing is electing delegates to the regional caucus, and then regional caucus elects delegates to the state caucus or the state convention, and it's a rather cumbersome process. I think that we would have been much smarter just to have had the presidential primary and changed the date of it. We're actually ending up costing the taxpayers about $7 million more than we should have, or the state did. It's a state issue. They're the ones who incurred the expense, but mm-hmm. Be all that as it may. Santorum in the primary won all 114 counties in Missouri, and I anticipate that he'll do quite well in the caucuses.
And, yeah, I understand you are lending some support to Santorum?
Yeah, I am supporting Rick Santorum because I he's the one candidate who understands, I think, working Americans. We have that type of district as that's how Northeast Arkansas is. I think that Rick shares our values. I think that he actually he's the only authentic candidate. I think the others lack authenticity. I seriously don't know where they stand or what they really believe in, but I know that Rick Santorum has been a great leader. He is a very good friend and has been for 20 years, and I have every faith that he would do very well up against President Obama, unlike some of the national pundits say.
Well, now, he concerns a lot of people, though, because of some of the public statements that he's made on, for instance, women's health care decisions and reproductive rights, among other things. Are there any of his public stances that are a concern for you in supporting him?
Well, first of all, there isn't one candidate I agree with 100%, but I also believe that some of the statements that Rick has made with regard to religious beliefs and that sort of thing have been taken out of context by the media, Mark, particularly when he's talking about his own personal beliefs as opposed to the way that he would govern. And so people say, okay, well, this is the way I'm doing something personally. That doesn't mean I would impose it on others. Instead of listening to I wouldn't impose it on others. It's taken for that's what he would impose. And so I think the national news media has tried its best to really distort what his beliefs are, and they are not. He does believe in a separation between church and state, He is a very strong advocate for women. I mean, look at his wife. She's a lawyer. She's a neonatal nurse and, you know, a very, very strong woman, and he's anything but anti-female.
What about some of the public comments he's made about higher education, where he's accused of linking college education to snobbery and saying colleges tend to turn students away from church and faith, for instance?
Well, I believe that when asked, he said, I probably should not have called the president a snob, but his statement, he has said that his statements were snobbish. And the fact is that, you know, you don't have to go to college necessarily to be successful, and Rick supports college, but he also supports the concept of going to technical schools, to go to some of the apprenticeship programs in the trades, all sorts of things, so that you should have a wide array of options, because college isn't for everybody. But certainly if you're a computer person, then doing a two-year degree in computer programming may be, you know, your ticket to success, or to go into a nursing program with a two-year associate's degree. But it's not necessarily four-year college, and that's what I think he tried to point out.
Well, there's so much to talk about. We're out of time, though. We'll have to pick it up again next month. Thank you so much for your time. I'm glad the cell phone held out.
Thank you, Mark. See ya.
Congresswoman Joanne Emerson joining us from her district in southeast Missouri this morning.